Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Rising Moon Podcast. I'm your host, Chris, and my co-host, Amanda. And, you know, I'm actually getting better at this.
You're not a co-host
now. I'm not
a
co-host anymore. And we have a wonderful guest for us today. We have Morgan. Welcome, Morgan, to the show.
Thank you.
And thanks for taking your own personal time to, you know, answer some questions.
Yeah, of course. I love answering questions.
So without further ado, Morgan, please give us an introduction or background about yourself.
Sure. So just some very basic stuff. My name is Morgan Bell, and I am a trans woman and a lesbian. And I am active in the Renaissance Fairs and Dickens Fairs of California. Active in the queer and kink communities, active in a lot of things. I like to be on the fringe, I guess, just a lot, several angles of the fringe. But I am also a writer. I write stories, write books, I write songs. I just like creativity. I like telling stories. I like role-playing games, what have you. I am a veteran, but that hardly defines me. That's the general. And just so you all know, it is Morgan, pronounced like Oregon with an M. It's what I picked when I went femme. And if there is any difficulty pronouncing it, you can just call me Maury.
Maury?
Yes.
Okay. Or Morrigan. Right?
Yes.
Alright.
Yes, like the Celtic goddess.
Okay, yeah, I think I was pronouncing it wrong. I think I was even Morgan.
I just was thinking of the character in one of the fighting games with the same name.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yes, there is one. Morgan is a common video game name.
That is true. Yeah. There's almost one in every... Or, like, very similar to Morgan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Morgan, Morrigan, or like Morgana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. The reason why he was smiling when you said your name was because my last name is Bell. So, twins.
Yeah, so like, so Morgan Bell is my two first names, but I love the name Bell. It makes me happy.
Is that your favorite Disney princess?
Princess, yes, because Elsa's a queen.
Yeah, Elsa's a queen. Thank you.
She's a badass bitch.
And she takes no shit. Yes. All right, so this first one is about the Ren Fair, since you mentioned it. A little mentioned it. What have you enjoyed and or not enjoyed about growing up and still being in the Ren Fair scene?
Oof, that is a lot of stories to condense. All right, so the first time on stage for me, I was a few weeks old. My mom was a theme character and stage actress. And I was definitely a fussy baby. I have always been a bit of a drama queen, it seems. And she couldn't leave me alone. I would just cry. So she literally just carried me through the show and did all of her lines and then got off the stage. That's just kind of indicative of how I've been. I love being the center of attention and crying when no one's paying attention to me. But yeah, so growing up at the Renaissance Fair has given me tons of perspective. It's a much more diverse community. I was introduced to a lot of queer things, polyamory things, what have you, before a lot of them were accepted in the greater world, as it is. I mean, a lot of things still aren't accepted, but they're better known and better understood these days. But they were all just normal to me. I knew a lot of witches. I knew a lot of gay men. I knew a lot of... I wasn't as aware of gay women back then. But it turns out most of the women I knew were also gay.
Less obvious? Like, what?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, a lot of... When I was a kid, movies and shows and whatnot made it very clear what a gay guy looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make it so clear for women. So, like, I just thought a lot of my friends were tomboys. You know, I didn't understand, okay? I did not know... I was around these things, but people weren't explaining it to me, right? So, like, I didn't even know what trans was until after the first time I came out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just... It gave me a lot of awareness, not necessarily a lot of understanding, but a lot of compassion,
mm-hmm.
a lot of comprehension with people. I love people. I love being around people. I love just talking to people, hearing their stories. After fair, we would camp. So we'd be there in a trailer in later years. Before that, we actually we built structures that we slept in. And after the fair closed and all the customers went home, we would all just sit around and with lights on because it got dark, and just talk, eat food, talk, and I'd just sit there and listen to the adults and mm-hmm. learn and just take in so much, so that when I started going to school and as I went through the school years, I just had a massive vocabulary compared to my fellow students, and I was advanced in so many things that they had never even considered learning before the school told them to.
Mm-hmm. I have a question regarding, like, the Ren Faire scene, because so I'm not too knowledgeable in the Ren Faire scene, but
I love the Ren Faire.
Yeah, you definitely know the Ren Faire. But as someone that is not that knowledgeable in, like, the Ren Faire scene, because what also comes to my mind, I'm pretty like LARPing. Do you think a lot of
that face is like, you bitch.
I know.
You bitch.
I think I know where this question is going.
Exactly.
So, in fact, I run LARPs.
Okay.
I am a LARPer. I have run vampire LARPs and other high political LARPs. I just love that stuff. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people I know are LARPers. A huge number of people I know are part of the SCA, Society of Creative Anachronism, which was actually one of the founders was also the founder of the guild that I grew up in, my mom's
nice.
Guild in the Renaissance Fair. So I've known a number of the founders of the SCA, and there's just a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
Were you always in California, or no?
No, okay. For the fairs, primarily, yes. I grew up in California. I got married very young. And the first few years after I got out of high school, when I got married, I was living up in Washington State. Then I moved back to California because I missed it. And later on, I joined the military. And that took me a few places, but primarily New Mexico.
Mm.
But now I am back home in California in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is the home of my heart and where I will always return to.
I saw videos of Pride in San Francisco, and I was like, it's popping.
Yeah.
It's
pretty
yes, Pride weekend is next weekend, and I'm so excited. I've never gone, and it's going to be my first Pride, and I'm so excited.
Nice.
I love seeing all the parades and all the pictures of all the people that I know.
Yeah.
It's adorable seeing them so happy.
So Morgan, what is your role in your guild?
Okay, so I've served a lot. When I was 9, I co-founded an educational organization called the Children's Militia, where we taught kids how to march in formation and the basics of Renaissance warfare. And then we presented them to the queen in front of their families, which was fun. And I did that for several years. Once I became an adult, I decided that the children's militia probably should be run by children. There was always adult supervision, but I was the child side of things. I was the kid teaching kids. So I decided to step down, and I got into more performing in roles. I played the Earl of Essex, because I was then still male presenting. And I was basically the villain. I got to be super misogynistic and a total asshole. And I just had to lose everything. I got to start lots of fights so that I could lose them. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah.
Last year, I came back after getting out of the military, and I was femme. And so I was in a fancy dress, still with the nobility. And I played a character named Elizabeth Throckmorton, who was the wife of Sir Walter Raleigh, who most people have never heard of either of those, but...
I've heard of Sir Walter Raleigh.
Right. He brought tobacco back from the New World.
Oh, wow.
And he
it's actually the why the capital is called Raleigh, Virginia.
Oh.
Yes.
Virginia.
Yes, and he founded the Roanoke colony that disappeared mysteriously, leaving only the word Croatoan. And then later on, he got himself in trouble, and the King James had his head chopped off, and Elizabeth Throckmorton, who is totally sane, carried around his head, preserved the rest of her life, and then left it to their son to also carry around for the rest of his life, because people are normal.
Badass.
Nice.
Right, so I played her as a stalker because,
I mean,
because I wasn't playing her as married to Raleigh yet, but there was another actor playing Raleigh, so I literally was just running around the fair asking people where Raleigh was and stalking him, very, very obviously.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
And when I wasn't, doing that or directly engaging, because I have PTSD. And sometimes I just need some way to dissociate and disconnect. So I would be given roses, and I'd go around balancing the roses on my fingers and just walking around the street, dodging people while balancing the rose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what I did. But this year I just auditioned for a new role, which is I'm going to be a fairy, because they're trying to get more fantasy involved.
Nice.
And... I know which fairy I want to be. I'm going to be a fairy. It's just, which one do I get?
Yeah.
But it's all fairies from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I want to be
popular. They're very popular here. They're always the ones printed on the tickets and the brochures.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Always.
I've seen that.
They're going to pay me to act. It's great. Plus, they're going to give me a costume when I get to be a fairy. I'm happy. I don't care which fairy I get. I just have a preference, but I really won't complain.
And the kids always love the fairies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love kids. I have a daughter. And I love kids.
Now, so you said that you came back from the military and you joined back in as a femme, right?
Yes.
Was there any difficulties transitioning into that role? Like, you know, maybe some negativity from the people in the guild, or...
Not
so pretty accepting.
Not really. So, actually, the Northern California Renaissance Fair, which is the fair I was referring to, I actually helped my mother, who is the chairman of the board, to create an HR department, which the fair has never had before, and I don't know of any fairs that have had one before.
No.
Yeah.
Right. So I actually was running... I was one of the people running the complaints department for HR. So I definitely wasn't getting a lot of transphobia from the other performers or what have you. In fact, a lot of people were coming to me letting me know... other trans people were letting me know when stuff was happening for them. But I wasn't the victim much. I was, I think, just the confidence person who everybody knew... not to mess with. That being said, I did have several problems from audience members.
Mm.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, the audience members would say some pretty shitty stuff. Especially one back then I was shaving instead of waxing my face. Oh. So I always had 5 o'clock shadow. The moment I shaved, I already had 5 o'clock shadow. I have really, really thick, bushy hair. And so there's no way to shave it and make it disappear. And one day I'd even forgotten my razor, and I got like 7 or 8 comments about being a man in a dress. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was fun.
Like, you almost wonder, like, did they acknowledge and know you were trans and they were just being an asshole, or did they think it was like part of like the acting, like that was the character?
That's the thing, is like,
it's just hard to tell.
It's possible because when I was a kid that was normal. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
There were lots of people at the fair who, like, they would switch costumes on the last weekend or whatever, and the guys and the girls would switch their costumes out. I know my parents did. My mom and my stepdad switched their costumes at one point. But they weren't really playing the other gender. Mm. And I don't know whether the audience really understands the difference, but I was certainly portraying feminine.
Okay.
But, you know, when a random person is walking by... But the thing is, the comments aren't... The comments weren't, oh, they're funny. No. They were clearly, generally designed harmfully. So I generally believe that they knew.
They were just being
what
assholes.
What they were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd go into the backstage, have a little cry, go back out, continue on.
Professional.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotta keep the act up.
A true thespian.
The show must go on.
A true lesbian. It's thespian, sorry, yes.
A lesbian.
Just combine it.
Yeah, just combine
it. The lesbian.
That's great.
Yes.
All right, what does being trans mean to you?
It is, to me, it represents the journey. Right? Like, I am who I am. I am a woman. I am not a man. Those are simple. But the reason I still refer to myself as a trans woman and not just a woman is, there's actually a few reasons. One, there were people who I saw when I was younger who were out and proud and who made me feel more confident, more comfortable. And I want to be that. I want to show that I am not just a woman, right? I am a trans woman, a person who has struggled, like so many people are still struggling. And I am, of course, still struggling, but in different ways. But people who are struggling to come out, to decide whether this is a safe world for them, or what have you, to show them that there are other people who have stood up and stepped out and dressed how they want to dress and done what they want to do to represent who they are. So I want to be that. But also, like, I didn't erase anything of my past. Right? I have a dead name. Which I call a dead name because I don't know another word for it. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like dead name is the accurate term for me. Because I didn't kill him, right? I just transitioned into something new. Mm-hmm. Like on my profiles on Facebook, I still have all the old pictures. I didn't erase them. I didn't remove them. I didn't pretend they didn't exist. Because the journey is important. It made me who I am.
Do you get some flack for that?
I do. Yes.
But why? It's your choice. It's your thing.
It's not necessarily hostile. It's more like people just don't understand. Mm. Like, people will be like... Like, I'll share a picture of what I look like in the military, and they'll be like, I don't know how to respond to this. Am I supposed to, like, complain about this picture? Am I supposed to compliment this picture? People don't know. They want to make sure that whatever their response is to my emotional acceptance. And honestly, like, sometimes I just want to show, like, this is where I came from and this is where I am. Mm-hmm. And, like, I thought I was a pretty good-looking guy. So, I was popular. I don't want to be that way anymore. That was a mask that was very painful. But it happened.
I can see, like, some people being concerned about, like, triggering, like, a body dysmorphia type of thing. So... Yeah. I kind of get where some people may be coming from, where they're just like, I really just don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But, and like, you put it up, so obviously it's a, look where I came from and look where I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like, going to hurt you, you want to put it up.
I have pretty severe dysphoria at times, to the point where I get suicidal about it. But it's not about seeing who I was. It's about seeing who I am and not feeling like who I am physically right now fully represents where I want to be. Mm-hmm. But seeing the past doesn't disturb me.
When was the realization or the point where you were okay with transitioning to become a trans woman?
Okay. This is a two-part story.
Give us all the stories. Yeah. Let's go.
So, I came out twice.
Okay.
First, I will say this. My journey toward transness started very early on. I remember being a 5-year-old, staring in the mirror, tucking, naked, just trying to look like a girl and pretending that I was already. Because, you know, when you're 5, that's pretty much the only difference in bodies. Mm-hmm. How I knew what the differences were back then, I don't even know. But I knew. But flash forward, when I was 16... was the first time I came out. I had been dating my now ex-wife, and I was running role-playing games for her. I've always run role-playing games. And because I was the person running the game, I had a lot of control. She was just the player, and I ran all the NPCs. Mm-hmm. And so, like, one of the characters I had was this sort of angel character. And the concept in my head was that angels have no gender, right? At least, conceptually speaking, originally there was no gender. So I had the angel character presenting as male early in the story. And the character became a love interest for the player. And at some point, I don't know why. I didn't really think about it. I just did it. The character became a girl. Like, I just changed it. And I just shifted their demeanor, everything. The character was named Dusk. That was the angel. And my ex-wife, like I said, I was dating at the time, was uncomfortable with this character. She had loved Dusk as a man and did not enjoy Dusk as a woman. And so I broke up with her.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit. Wow, that's spicy.
It was a test. Bam.
Look, I wasn't thinking too much. This was just, like, in my head. So, like, it was all just happening subconsciously. Mm-hmm. And I broke up with her. Within 3 hours, I had a new girlfriend.
Yeah, damn.
This was a girl who I had dated before, and who I didn't quite realize was an out lesbian. Mm-hmm. Like, she had come out since the last time I had dated her. Mm-hmm. And she was very content to put me in all of her clothing. And so, like, suddenly, because I told her about the character of Dusk, mm-hmm. and she was like, "Do you want to get dressed up?" And I was like, sure. So I go out to her house, and I come home one day to my parents in a corset, thigh-high boots, nice. And a mini skirt.
And it was awakened.
No, and I told my parents I wanted to be called Dusk. And they just kind of went with it. And they didn't question it. And I mentioned earlier, the first time I came out, I didn't even know what trans was. Like, I just was doing this. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought I was, like, a budding drag queen or something like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like a drag queen. And I was like, I don't get it. I'm into girls. I don't understand. And everybody kept asking me if I was gay, and I didn't quite comprehend the fact that, yes, I am gay, just the other way. I'm gay for girls. But they... I'll add in that I was also going to college at 16. I graduated early, and my new girlfriend was also a freshman in college, but she was 18. And we were going to the same college, and she was driving me. And everything was great for, like, a month.
Oh, shit.
And then I did something. I don't know what. And she dumped me flat. Like, over text. But she was still my ride to school.
She's still your ride to school? Wow. For how long?
The rest of the semester.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
I was still learning how to drive. But I didn't have a car.
Oh, shit.
And my parents had to go to work every day, so I only had the one option. And my school was a half hour away by car, so taking a bus wasn't an option.
That was a bit awkward.
And now, given what I've learned now about PTSD, it's entirely possible that she explained to me exactly what I did wrong. Exactly what how I upset her, how I disturbed her. Because all I remember now is her telling me that she already told me what I did wrong when I kept asking.
I mean, sometimes girls do that, though.
True.
And maybe they'll be like, you should just know. Okay?
Yeah.
You should know.
It's true. But I still, to this day, like, I have theories on what I might have done. I think, honestly, it had to do with the fact that she was a lesbian, and she saw me as a girl, and we got semi-physical, and she had to interact with my not-girly parts. Mm. And then shortly thereafter, we were broken up. So I think that was it, but I don't know for sure.
Like, it almost broke the illusion for her a little bit.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know. So after that, she stopped talking to me. It was literally, like, silent treatment. I was in her car. She was in her car. She would not communicate with me. And I just sat there trying not to cry all the way to school every day. Yeah. And so, because and I didn't know this at the time, but because I have a dependent personality disorder and I don't like to be alone, I went back to my ex-wife.
Oh no. Morrigan!
She wasn't my ex-wife yet. I hadn't figured it out yet. Okay. I went back to her and I told her I was Ben again. And that dusk was just a phase. And there was a lot of back and forth, and then eventually she decided to take me back, and then I was in the closet for another 13 years. Mm-hmm. So that's the first story.
So 13 years you were together for?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
I'm assuming while you were with her, you didn't come out again.
I did actually come out with her. Okay. It was just at the very tail end of our marriage. When I knew everything was already over.
Mm-hmm. Was that like the 10-year mark, or...?
Well, it was just short of 10 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. So we got together in 2007... and I came out in 2020, right after COVID started. We had been monogamous together for many years. In 2017, I joined the Air Force, and we had moved to New Mexico, started a family. While I was at basic training, I found out she was pregnant. Very good timing, because then I didn't have to pay for any of the medical bills.
Hey.
Right? Dodged a bullet. Because those are expensive. Anyways.
People don't realize it.
Yeah. I joined the military specifically so we could have a baby. Because I knew we couldn't afford it. I knew the only way for us to own a home and have a child was for me to have that job. Where I knew that I had the financial security. And tons of benefits.
Now, I don't know if it's a sensitive topic, and you can totally say no, but do you still get to see your daughter, or has your ex-wife had any pushback?
I see my daughter.
Okay, that's good.
I don't see her nearly as much as I should, nor do I get calls at the frequency to which our divorce decree states I should. However, I have, in the last year and a half, I have had her here with me for about 7 weeks total, across three different trips. She lives in Washington, so it's a trek.
Yeah.
But I miss her very, very dearly. I had her here last month, most recently.
Good that you still have contact, because I know a lot of trans people that have kids that their partner just gets real, their ex-partner gets real petty and is like, no, you're never going to see your kid again.
I got lucky on that front. Mm-hmm. Very lucky. I'll get back to that in a moment. So I'll go back to, chronologically. Look, I have ADHD, and I mess up really easily, and I will lose track if I don't try to keep myself on track. I joined the military 2017. I was an airman working in the command post, which most people have never heard of, but it's a very, very dark place, which you can feel free to ask me about in a separate question, but I'm just going to move on real quick. I also served as the Airman Council President for my base at Holloman Air Force Base. And that's basically, I was coordinating events and education and what have you for, my fellow airmen, helping them develop professionally, but also having things to do because most of them lived in dorms and were isolated. New Year's Eve before I became Airmen's Council president, we had 3 suicides. And all on the same day.
Oh, wow.
And given my job, I was the one who took the phone call for each of them.
Ooh.
So, did not want to deal with that anymore, so I kind of ran on the position of suicide prevention. And it worked. My entire tenure, we didn't have a single suicide. It was 1 year. And I threw the base's 4th of July party and several other events. And I started an anime club on base for people to get to know each other. And I helped start a number of other clubs. Though that one was the one I actually ran. And then COVID hit. After I had finished my year as Airmen's Council president, because I was 2019. And I got finished in February of 2020. So right before COVID. Yeah. I went to California with my family. We went to Disneyland, took my daughter to Disney. And we were there for my birthday, which was March 12th, and March 13th was COVID. So I was very lucky that I got home because everything shut down. But within a couple weeks, we had taken my daughter out of daycare. My wife had been kept home from work. I still had to go to work, but I was working far less frequently. Instead of 4 12-hour shifts in a row, I was working 3 every 6 days. Because we had reduced to single-person operations instead of 2 to 4 people in the office at a time. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of time together. And so my ex-wife comes to me one day while my daughter is watching TV. And she says, "I want an open marriage." I was like, 13 years of monogamy. I feel like this is a death knell.
Yeah.
Like, I cried. I had never explored polyamory before. I am polyamorous now, but I had not explored polyamory before. And I was terrified. My ex-wife and I, we'd been fighting a lot. We'd had a lot of issues. I hadn't been home a lot while I was president of the Airmen's Council because I was running a lot of things on base. We lived off base. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I was very busy, very active, and not as active as home.
Right.
And so I knew she felt like I wasn't pulling my weight as a parent, and what have you. And we'd been having fights. And so I assumed at that moment that it was over and we were just playing it out to see what happened next. So in that same conversation, she asked me, "This is something I want to explore. I want to date women." This is her words. "I want to date women. Because I'm bisexual and I want to explore that, and I never had an opportunity to explore that. And you can go explore something about yourself." And I responded with, "I want to explore my gender identity."
How did she take that?
Not well.
And she dropped a bomb on you and then gets mad
yeah.
at you? What?
Yeah, because she's all like, I want to explore this, and then, you know.
Okay, so I try not to speak ill of her. She's still the mother of the child.
Right.
So what I would say is this. She was not prepared for it. Mm. And I have, through most of our relationship, been the center of attention. When I introduced her to the Renaissance Fair, everybody knew her as my girlfriend or my wife, not as who she was. And that was the same in many communities. I was the Airman Council president. She was my dependent. So she felt very sidelined a lot. And guess what? Exploring sexuality versus exploring gender, one of those gets a hell of a lot more attention than the other. So she felt yet again like I was stepping forward and taking the moment from her. I don't know how to change those optics. It was just how it was.
Yeah.
Yes. Me coming out as a woman in Pride of 2020 got a lot of attention. I got hundreds of comments on my Facebook post. I had lots of people sending me gifts of clothing and makeup and what have you. And her journey was more private, internal, and I suppose she was jealous.
I mean, you can't really blame you for, especially as, you know, she sprung that question as far as, like, or the topic of, well, exploring, right? So...
Yeah.
You know, it's not really that you did it intentionally for ill intent.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, hey, so this is... If we're talking about what we want to explore, you know.
Pretty much.
Hopeless.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I came out. I started going to therapy. I learned that the military standard at the time was... that as long as I didn't want to transition, it was fine, but if I wanted to transition, I would be kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't handle that well, because I wanted to. Our marriage continued to deteriorate until she left in August with my daughter. And everything went downhill.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 4. She'll be 5 in October.
Oh, okay. October babies?
You and your October babies.
Let's go.
No. June.
I was in March.
Oh.
Okay.
So we have, like, fall, spring, and summer.
Yep. Fall superior.
We don't have any.
I'm technically end of winter.
Oh.
Okay.
Mine is, like, right in the middle of when Arizona's hell on earth.
Yep.
So.
Oh, no.
Because my birthday's tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's happy hot birthday. As all hell here. Thank you.
She's about to raise.
Or as I say at the Renaissance Fair, happy Natal Day.
Save me.
What? Save you from what? I ever hurt you? Come
that's
on.
That's true. Never.
Alright. So, we're going to move on to the next one.
Sure.
For those who do not know, can you describe what HRT is and some of the ups and downs that come with it?
Alright. Hormone replacement therapy. I started my treatment back in September. Right before the Northern California Renaissance Fair. So that was an interesting season. So HRT, or, like I said, hormone replacement therapy. Hormone replacement therapy is where what an individual receives new hormones for the gender they are going to and receives blockers for hormones, for the hormones that their bodies naturally produce. So for me, I get a shot every 2 weeks, right in my backside, for estrogen. And I take a pill every single day to block testosterone. And the effects are slow. The best way to describe it is a second puberty. Although some people are able to start HRT young and actually replace their initial puberty with it. But for me, it was certainly a second puberty because I started at 30. And yeah, I've been a hormonal teenager. But now I've got boobs.
Yay, titties!
Yes!
Right? Because when I started, I had fake boobs that I actually got through the VA.
Nice. I didn't know
they
did that.
Yeah, that's available.
They do that. They do that since Biden took office.
Of course.
There was pretty much no treatment under Trump.
Well, he was trying to get trans people, like, just out of the military, period, right?
Yep, I know, because they got me out. Luckily, I got out with an honorable discharge, but that's only because they kicked me out by telling me I couldn't re-enlist, because I was already toward the end of my first enlistment.
Mm. Okay.
So I couldn't... So they said, we're not going to... do all the paperwork to kick you out. Instead, we're just going to tell you, you can't come back. Thanks, bye.
You're like,
yeah.
You're like, after all I did for you.
Right? Yeah. And so, I actually exited the military the week that President Biden change the policy back.
Would you have stayed if they would have let you?
It was such a tough choice. Like, I was considering it. I was considering fighting it. But I'd already gone through so much and been in and out of behavioral health wards for suicidal ideations. And, yeah, I was pretty sure they wouldn't take me back anyways. Mm. Like, I was like, huh, I seem to be a healthy human being until you guys did all this. Now yeah. I can't.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty.
Yeah, I mean, I can't just blame them. I had also my marriage falling apart, losing my daughter, lots of other things happening all at once.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was dark time, but I got out and I moved home to the Bay Area where people are far more accepting. Not always, but far more.
Yeah.
And I've lost track of the question. What was I talking? Oh, yeah, HRT.
Yes, HRT.
HRT.
Right. So it took me several months to get onto HRT after I left. So I got out of the military in January and it took me till September through the VA to get to the point where they were actually prescribing me the meds. And then it was... The development was slow. I started, like, nubbing a little bit, for lack of a better term. And I was just extremely emotional. Go figure. And it was on a cycle for some reason. I can't figure out why. I would just, like, once a month be way more emotional. I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's just, like, that time of the month minus the physical thing.
Yeah.
Exactly it. Like, yeah. So the hormones set your body up, your emotions and whatnot. They act as if you are experiencing a period, even though there is no physical changes.
I just hope there was no cramping.
Nope, no cramping. I am very lucky in that I've had no cramping. But that makes it harder because I don't always know when it's happening. I just suddenly get bitchier, okay?
And then you're like, why am I so upset? Oh, it's this time.
Right. Right. Like, I've started gauging it off of when my friends are having their times. I'm like, I think I'm synced up with you and a little bit after you. I think that's what's happening here. So tell me when it's your time.
It's freaking wild that that happens, honestly. You're yeah. like, what the fuck?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't know. It took a while for me to figure it out. Like, I knew it was the thing that happened, but it took a long time for me to realize that it was happening and when it was happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's why I went to the hospital that time. I was extremely emotional. Go figure. It also doesn't help that along with all the other myriad of mental health issues I have, I'm also bipolar. So it kind of makes tracking everything much more confusing.
Just like amplified as fuck.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, it's great.
Isn't it wonderful? But yeah, so yeah, for a little bit of the medical side of things, so I don't know all the details for transitioning to a man. I do know that for trans men, they have voice changing and things like that. For trans women, it does not affect our voice. They have classes to train you to sound more feminine, and I took two of those, and by which I mean two sessions, not two separate classes, and then I stopped going. Because they kept telling me to talk all breathy and sound like, I don't know, it was horrible. And I was like, this isn't yes. how normal women sound. And I don't want to sound like this. Thank you.
Was the dude super old and like into Marilyn Monroe? Is that what was happening?
No, it was actually a young woman teaching the class. This is just the standard. This is the standard that they teach.
Wow.
It's not the individual. It's the standard.
Wow.
As someone who doesn't talk like that, I'm deeply offended.
Right?
Like, what the hell? I don't know anyone that talks like that.
So that means you've been talking all wrong your whole entire life.
Yeah.
Apparently. Apparently I don't talk like a woman. I don't know.
Right. No, apparently not. And they're like, oh, you enunciate your words too much. And I was like, screw you.
Oh, my God.
So we're stupid now, too. Fuck.
Right. I was like, this is dumb. First of all, I have a lisp. I have been trained to highly enunciate my words so that my lisp does not show.
Yeah.
Right.
This does not have anything to do with being masculine. Or feminine. Like, it's dumb. So I stopped going. And I still train my voice to be slightly higher octave and what have you. But I don't try to change my speech patterns. Mm-hmm. I am who I am, and I'm going to keep talking as who I talk.
You're not going to turn into a valley girl? Come on.
Like, totally gag me with a fork, because it's, like, far more painful than a spoon. Yeah, I used to mock my mom with that because she grew up in the valley.
That's great.
Oh, no.
She was a valley girl.
She does not have the valley girl accent at all.
So
and she is a lawyer and, like, just talks very seriously all the time, so I mock her because I'm, you know, me.
You're like, just because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I love her. She knows that. I'm not cruel. I'm just malicious.
What's the difference?
Very much so. But yes, so like with me, I don't know, how much physicality do we want to discuss? How much anatomy do we actually want to discuss?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Like, as much as you're comfortable with, whatever.
Sure. So like, yeah, my balls shrank. The hormones, like, because that's the testes are where, you know, testosterone comes from. Go figure the names. Surprising to me how many people don't know that. But so yeah, so when I have my testosterone blockers, sure, what it's doing is killing those balls. It also means that I am no longer, what's the word, virile. I am far less likely to get anybody pregnant. In fact, they were advising me to freeze my sperm in case I wanted to make more babies, which I elected not to do. And they were saying, you need to do it before you start the hormones, because once you start, the effectiveness of the sperm plummets.
It's expensive to do that, like to freeze sperm or eggs. Yeah. It's thousands of dollars.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, no, thanks. I have one daughter. I love her so much. I don't need another. If I remarry or repartner with someone with a kid, I will love their kid. And if I really desperately want a kid again, I will adopt.
There's millions of children out there yeah, with no home. So,
yeah.
PSA.
So, yeah, so I chose not to do that. My mom was very concerned about that. It's not that she wanted, it's not the whole, like, you need to have grandbabies for me, because I already gave her one. But it's just, she had this fear, and I love her, but she had this fear that I was making these life-changing decisions and leaving no exit route for myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, because I have the same fear. I fear getting the surgery to have a vagina, which I absolutely want to do. I absolutely have no way to do it currently because the VA does not cover it.
The community is always really good about it.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of people raise funds for top or bottom surgery and get quite a bit of help.
But it's like $20,000 to $25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. People don't understand how expensive it really is.
Well, I mean, it's a complex procedure.
Yeah.
It is. Like, I understand the cost point. I mean, at least in America. Yeah. I understand where we're at with medical capitalism, but I certainly can't afford it, and I don't. I have a thing. I have a fear of being a burden on people. I don't want to ask the community to pay for it. I'm currently a temp at my job. When I get taken on full time, which they've already told me they will do, I will have an opportunity to get new insurance. Oh, when nice. I get that new insurance, most of the insurances in California do cover it one way or another.
Yeah.
Just not the VA. Mm-hmm. Or Medi-Cal.
Yeah.
Now, would you get the bottom surgery first, since the HRT is kind of already giving the top?
Honestly, I'm not going to do top surgery at all. I've already got B cups. I'm pretty comfortable with that, and they're still mildly growing. My girlfriend tells me.
Do any of your girlfriends get jealous? Like, if they're an A cup and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right.
Not my girlfriends, but like, my best friend did say that at one point.
She's like, do I gotta start taking HRT as well, even though I'm a girl?
Need bigger boobs.
Yeah,
They've already got the hormones. It's different. Like,
yeah.
I think it has a significant genetic aspect to it. It's really hard to gauge.
Mm-hmm.
But my family does tend to have larger boobs. I definitely have, I think, the smallest in my family. So they are still growing. We'll see where they end up. When I was wearing my fake ones, my prosthetics, they were a C cup. So I'm already most of the way there.
Now,
I really don't want to be larger than a C cup because I do not want back pain.
Ugh, yeah. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I've had two back surgeries, so it's not totally the boobs' fault.
That's fair. That's
I can't
fair.
Blame them completely.
You can blame whoever you want.
I can blame them a little bit.
Exactly.
But chop them off.
But yeah, so I'm not going to do top surgery. And anyways, I like how sensitive they are. And I would like to not risk that. But speaking of transition and surgeries, another thing a lot of people don't know is for bottom surgery for trans women, the process has a chance of eliminating all sensation. So there is a chance that I will gain the vagina that I so want. It's a small chance, but there is a chance that I will gain it and never be able to feel anything down there again. Mm-hmm. And that terrifies me. Yeah. Because I have a high libido. And I don't know what I would do, honestly. And there would be no going back. Even if I did the reversal surgeries, which they do exist, and they're very complicated, and they don't really 100% reverse anything. They just basically do the other version of the surgery, which is create a new penis.
And you could possibly end up with even more nerve damage and less sensation going back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm terrified.
And then you just have ED.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, just being on hormones already gives me ED.
Yeah.
And I know it's the hormones because I didn't have any problems before.
Like, there's a downfall.
Yeah, there's a downfall.
Yes. Getting erect isn't difficult. Staying erect is. And so sex becomes very difficult as it is right now. At least intercourse does. Everything else is fine.
Well, so speaking of difficulties, are there human rights that trans members have difficulties obtaining versus other members of the LGBTQA+ community?
Yes. as I have already stated, medical shit. It's very hard to get medical clearance, and it's not just the insurance companies not covering it, but the insurance companies that do cover it have very strict guidelines for what they will, what conditions you have to meet for them to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Most are 2 years on HRT. Multiple doctors declaring that it is medically necessary for you to have the surgery, which for me doesn't seem hard because I've gone to the hospital for suicidal ideations enough that I think they'll be like, yeah, she wants to kill herself if you don't do this. I think that's medically necessary.
Yeah.
but there are tons of hoops you have to jump through. And like I said, it took me 8 months just to get to my hormone therapy from leaving the military, where before, I just couldn't. It wasn't an option. If I started hormones, they'd just boot me out. I'd lose my career, which I lost anyways. But I needed that honorable discharge because leaving the military without an honorable discharge does not end well.
Yeah.
So I kept my head down and I survived.
This is where trans rights really come into tie into women's rights, like trans men or women, because I feel like women very often have to do the same thing when it comes to like OBGYN stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, we're going to make you wait. Are you sure? We need a whole bunch of people to say it's necessary.
Oh, yeah. I was there with my ex-wife dealing through a ton of that, and they just kept finding reasons to prevent her from doing things that she wanted to do, and they'd be like, oh, because she wanted to have her tubes tied. And they're like, oh, but you might want another baby.
And you're she's like, I'm telling you, no. I don't.
Yeah, so she's like, nope, 36 hours of labor and then a C-section does not make me want another baby. And they're like, oh, but you might. And they just kept coming up with reasons.
That's crazy.
And I am extremely lucky not to have had to deal with that. But also, like, when we were buying a car, they wanted me there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, guess what? Having a penis gives you magic powers.
Okay. It was her freaking car. I didn't care. I was like, as long as you're not spending too much money, do what you want.
As long as you're not buying a Ferrari, we're good.
Right. And it was too much money, but it was fine.
Treat yourself.
Exactly.
We were getting a car before the baby was born. Because I only had a Prius, and I was like, we need more space. Mm-hmm. And she needed a vehicle, because in Alamogordo, New Mexico, there is nowhere you can go without driving.
Yeah.
Everything worth driving to is an hour away, too. So it's like, no, you need a car so that I'm not leaving you stranded for my 12-hour work shifts. And, like, you know, go figure. If my daughter got sick while I was at work, how are they going to go to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, she couldn't just go to the dealership and get herself a car. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yes, women's rights pisses me the fuck off.
Because these old white men are always trying to tell us what to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lucky I didn't go into one of those.
So what would you say are some common misconceptions about trans people?
I'm trying to narrow the list.
At first I was like, really? You can't think of one?
It's too many.
The opposite.
So first of all, it depends on how bigoted we're talking. Because the more bigoted the people that I'm referring to are, the much farther abroad the misconceptions are. Like, I am not a gay man. Go figure. And so literally yesterday I was on my way into the city, San Francisco, to go see Hadestown. Because I'm a theater kid and I'm really big into Broadway, go figure. And I was on BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit, and I got off one station too soon by accident, but it wasn't too far, it was an easy walk. So I'm walking in my stilettos, and in a very nice black and red dress with crinoline out to here, just trying to be my beautiful self. And so the moment I walk out, there's this bunch of preachers in sackcloth, literal sackcloth. Of course, they don't understand the concept of being a preacher in sackcloth meant not having regular clothes, because they were in regular clothes under their sackcloth.
Oh my God.
Nice. It was very nice clothing, so clearly they were not monks. Yes, they were in sackcloth, yelling at me to renounce my wicked ways and my sexual perversion.
You should tell them to do the same.
Past them.
Yeah.
I straight up ignored them and strutted. And I kept walking, and guess what? As I passed the next BART station, the one I should have gotten off at, there's another preacher.
This one was,
what the fuck?
She actually talked about it on the server yesterday, and I was like, what the fuck?
This one decided to, like there were hundreds of people just standing around. In the area, this is Civic Center in San Francisco, so like the very center of the city. And this one guy just standing there walking around on a microphone, and he just starts railing at me as I'm walking by, because I hadn't had my face waxed, so I had a bit of a beard. And, like, I was very obvious. Like, I was not passing. And passing is a whole nother issue. But I was not. I was very clearly either a man in drag or a trans woman. Didn't matter to them.
Yeah.
And they just started ripping into me and making up all sorts of ridiculous things about who I was. Like I said, saying I was a gay man, assuming that I sleep with men, and I'm like, ha, you'd be happy to know I still sleep with women, thank you.
like, that part has not changed.
Yeah, right.
Right. And they're pretty women, too. And they're all rightfully married. Just not to me. Don't worry, their husbands know.
You're like, they know, okay.
I don't do cheating, okay. but yeah, and so there are all sorts of misconceptions, and the one misconception is that it's just a decision, right? That I just decided to be a girl, or that I did it to be treated a certain way. And yes, I want to be treated as who I am.
You're like, you know how women are treated, right? Why would I be like, yeah, that sounds like fun?
Because when men, and yes, it's men, when men think of these sorts of things, they think, oh, you want the best parts while I deal out the worst. It never occurs to them that the fact that they deal out these horrible, nightmarish comments, these travesties on humanity, that they might be the problem. Go figure.
Yeah.
They just assume that everything is sunshine and happiness, that having to walk into a woman's bathroom is easy.
No, because there's also bigoted women.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so I spent months just holding it. Going when I got home. Or at work when I was still in the military, because we had our own private bathroom. And especially during COVID, I wasn't with anybody else. So I could just go. It didn't matter. But the, it's a nightmare. If I went into the ladies' restroom, I could be called a pervert, a harasser, a peeping Tom, whatever you want to call it. If I went into the men's restroom, well, then I was physically in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they think that I did it because of the benefits of being a woman. No, I didn't have a choice. It's who I was, and if I just kept going down the other path, I don't know where I'd be now.
I mean, from what you've said, like, there's a possibility that if you didn't stay true to yourself, you just wouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah.
And that'd be sad.
Yep.
Because the world is better off with you in it.
That's right.
Thank you.
Alright, so what are some changes that you would like to see for trans or LGBT people in general?
Again, narrowing it down.
There's so many things!
I know, there's so many things, but you know...
I don't want to talk your ears off. Look.
We're all talkers.
Honestly, I love Pride, right? I love, and I've never been, but I love the concept of Pride, of having Pride, of standing up and saying who we are and being clear and fighting the good fight and showing everybody what they can be if they choose to be. If they are ready to accept themselves or to accept each other.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it not to be necessary. I would like a day where we didn't celebrate Pride because it didn't matter anymore. Because we just accepted each other. And we didn't have to stand up to show everybody that it was safe because they knew it was safe. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure people aren't lambasted on the street walking to a theater. I want to make sure people aren't kicked out of the military and have to give up their careers because they're different. Some of the strongest people I know in the military are trans. They were lucky enough to be in and come out before President Trump's policies took effect. I was not. Or they were lucky enough to be afterward. There are so many changes in this world, and it's not just for trans people, for LGBTQ people. There is just far too much hate and fear. And I know that those are in effect the same thing.
Because
they don't hate except because they fear.
In a way, this is my own, my personal perspective on, celebrating, not only just, Pride, but other, holidays, right, to where...
There's a month for everything now.
Yeah, there's something for everything, and even though, yes, it's supposedly meant to be celebrating something good, but in hindsight of things, a lot of it is, you'll have the backlash, negativity... Mm-hmm. Of when you're trying to celebrate something that's supposed to be for good, you know?
Yeah. I mean, note that what happened to me yesterday did happen in Pride Month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
in San Francisco, of all places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is tons of backlash. There's always... Everything is hyper-politicized. Being who you are is a political statement now, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I represent a movement, and I am an agenda, and what have you, and I don't simply want to exist and support others in existing.
Would you say you get more, hateful, comments, during, Pride Month than, regular day of the year?
I don't know. The honest truth is that I don't often walk down the streets of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I drive instead of taking BART. And I go straight to the nightclubs that I love and where I am accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't interact. But going to the theater, there's no parking around there. So that wasn't an option.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this was the first time that I've gone there alone. Because with my new job, I can no longer go to the theater with my family, who go on Wednesday afternoons. So, this is all new. Sorry, cats.
We get cats.
So it's hard to say what's normal and what's not. Because everything is changing for me all the time. There's always new factors at play.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally understandable, driving more often. Personally, if it's nighttime, most of the time I will not go out unless he's with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I don't feel safe going anywhere. Especially at night by myself.
I am constantly ready for a fight. Not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk around in stilettos that I am ready to take off and hit with.
Stab a bitch.
Yeah.
I also am very confident in my running ability in my stilettos. I have combat training. I don't carry the weapons that I am trained to use, but I have hand-to-hand combat training as well. Mm-hmm. And I am constantly alert everywhere I go, even at work.
It sucks that, like, just in normal day-to-day life, you know, you wouldn't hope to or have that as an expectation every night you would essentially go out by yourself, you know. Sad.
It's just kind of ridiculous that, like, you get more respect or, like, people leave you alone if a man is with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, whenever I have, like, a male friend with me or Chris with me, nobody bothers me. Nobody even comes up to me, usually. But if I'm by myself, anytime I'm by myself, inevitably somebody comes that bothers me, like,
yeah. This reminds me of something that I've recently noticed at my new job. My manager is a woman, a cis woman, and she is very respectful, always uses my proper pronouns, treats me as a woman. What I noticed was that part of my job, I run a receiving department for a tech company, and part of my job is to put the boxes of materials and parts that we get in into storage because they're not needed yet, and we run out of storage frequently, so we have these containers outside, and they're like these big, like, train container units, right?
They're Gaylords.
Oh my gosh. He works at Amazon and they have things called Gaylords.
I mean, that's literally what they're called.
I'm like, what?
Well, like, I mean, at least in the United States, they're called Gaylords boxes.
So, when I told my manager that I was out of space and I needed to start putting stuff out there, she kept asking me to take a man with me or to send a man to do it for me.
It's like, why? I can do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm like, I'm a veteran. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I have carried assault rifles. I am fine. I'm not afraid.
You carry full people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I followed instructions initially. But the more I realized that every time she wanted me to do it, she was just asking me to ask a different man. It was always men that she was asking me to ask. And I looked at her and I said, is there a reason I can't do it? And she's like, it's scary out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's like, it's dark in those places. I would be scared. I wouldn't want to go out there. And I was like, but if the other workers can go out there, I can go out there. And she said, okay. But I had to talk to her about it first.
Yeah.
It was strange to me. I've never had someone try to protect me in that way before.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure whether to be happy or disappointed.
I mean, I would probably say...
It's like disappointed in society, mm-hmm. but happy that she cared enough and knew that society was like that to try to protect you.
Right. I mean, like, I was like, this is an aspect of society I don't like. However, thanks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, totally. Like, I've had night classes where I would ask my professors to walk me to my car because I was that concerned about it.
Yeah. I still walk, like, when I go out to the clubs, I walk girls to their cars, other girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ask anybody to walk me. And maybe it's just because of how I was raised as male. Or maybe it's just because I'm very confident in my fighting abilities. Mm-hmm. I've never lost a fight. I've never started a fight. But I always finish them.
Not like your character. You win.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And unlike my character, I actually know how to use a sword.
All right, now it's time to be moving on to some of the more personable questions.
Oh no, we're getting personal.
Ooh, personal.
It's like, deep. These haven't been personal?
I know. I know. People are like, what the fuck?
What? No, I take everything and put myself into it anyway.
All right, Morgan. Please give us your most memorable or cherishable moment that you like to share.
My most cherished moment. Holding my daughter. My ex-wife was, like I said, 36 hours of labor and then a C-section. So I was the first one who got to hold her. And I was so in love. I don't even know if another moment could ever surpass that. I don't have the words to describe it. And I'm very verbose.
Yeah. That's awesome. Leaves you speechless.
Yeah.
So the flip side is, what has been the biggest regret in your life?
See, that one's hard, right? Because there are things that I regret, like going back into the closet for 13 years.
But then you wouldn't have your daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's no going back. It's like people ask the other version of that question, which is, if you could change anything, what would you change? And I wouldn't change anything.
So I don't like asking that question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, as far as regrets go, do I regret pretending to be a man for 13 years? Yes. Do I regret what I got out of it? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I know these are serious topics. I make everything dramatic, okay?
Dun,
drama
dun,
queen.
Dun.
Have a little groundhog. That's
yeah,
like,
I know. All right, Morgan. Top struggle you've had in your life that you would like to share.
Say that one more time.
Your top struggle you've had in your life that you would like to share.
Mental health. Yeah, I've got ADHD, PTSD, bipolar disorder, dependent personality disorder. Those are the main ones. They result in tons of dissociation, suicidal ideation, panic attacks. I recently watched a movie in theaters with my girlfriend. It was called Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I don't think I've seen that.
And this is an action movie. I'm not going to spoil anything.
No spoilers.
But there are things in the movie. It's very combative. There's a lot of violence in it. A lot of loud noises. It seems to be designed to make people who have more standard brains to understand what my kind of brain is like. And it also showed some suicidal ideations and tons of voluntary self-harm. And individually, I could handle it. But while I watched that movie, which so focused on these subjects, I became a mess. I couldn't look. My ex-girlfriend had luckily seen the movie before me. She didn't realize how it would trigger me, but she had seen it before me. And so while she was holding me, because I was lucky, we were in a theater where the seats were like love seats, so we could like snuggle up while we watched the movie.
The cuddles.
Yeah.
Where it's appropriate to have cuddles in a public place.
Yes. And so like she was holding me, and she leaned over and said, "Do you want me to tell you when the violent parts are happening and when they're going to stop?" And I nodded, but it wasn't enough. I at some point, I couldn't communicate anymore. I couldn't process anymore. Everything was just completely overwhelming to me, to the point that I knew that I needed to leave the theater, but I could not do it. So I sat there through the whole movie. And when we left, I couldn't even walk straight. I couldn't identify where I was going. She had to literally guide me to the car. I was lucky I wasn't the one that was supposed to be driving. And these are new things. That had never happened to me before. That happened just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So I'm learning more and more about my PTSD. And so, yeah, that's my greatest struggle, is figuring out what I'm okay with, what my triggers are, how to get past them. I had another thing, on the night that my ex-wife and my daughter left, I drove to base to talk with the suicide prevention coordinator on base, who I knew personally because of my role as Airman's Council President. And I was in a Lolita outfit, and I was driving home at around 11, and I nearly hit a dog. It was a long stretch, no lights on the freeway, in the desert. I nearly hit the dog, and I stopped. Because, go figure, with a brain like mine, very alert, very fast reflexes. Everything is about reacting. So I stopped. The next car didn't. And so I pulled over, and I pulled the dog out of the road, and I pet her till she died. And I didn't realize how much that affected me until I met my girlfriend's dog, which is the same breed, a pit bull. And it was in a blanket. And they carried that dog away in a blanket. I spent the next day extremely suicidal, and I had no idea why, till I worked through it with my therapist. I was like, oh yeah, that looked just like what I saw. Go figure.
Yeah.
So yeah, just figuring this stuff out and realizing what things affected me in what ways and what things are likely to negatively affect me. It's all trial and error. A thing, I don't know it's a trigger until it happens.
Yeah. It's hard to know what really triggers until it happens, you know?
Yeah.
On the upside, I have since dog sat for that same dog, because once I knew what the problem was, I could change my thought processes around it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing, is once you find it, like find out the triggers, is to take the proper action of changing your thought process on things.
Mm-hmm.
Very
important. Yeah.
It's always interesting talking to people, because like, originally, I was going to school to be a psychologist.
Me too.
Yeah.
So, wow, same last name. That's, what is going on here?
So, like, it's always nice to hear people that are going through things and that have mental illness actually realize that medication, yes, helps, but it's not a cure-all. You still have to talk to someone. You have to work through things with a therapist. Because I've seen so many people that don't do them in tandem. They just take the medication and expect it to fix everything.
Yeah.
And you need to do the mental work, too. It's not fun, but that's what's actually going to help you.
Yeah. I found that the therapy helped me far more than any medication ever did.
Yeah, exactly. So on to positive things. What's your proudest moment?
My proudest moment?
Proudest moment that you want to share.
Oh. I don't know. While I love to be the center of attention, I'm really bad about bragging. I mean, I'll brag about little things, but then I'll be like, eh, but it's not a big deal. Or I'll suddenly become humble immediately thereafter. Be like, never mind. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have bragged. Wonder if that's a trigger. Anyways. I'm always proud when I get a role or when I design a particularly good role-playing game. I think not a specific moment, but just a proud series of moments is when I create a story and I witness someone else react to it the way I intended. When I can create a love story that ends in tragedy and make my friends cry, mm-hmm. or something along those lines where it hits home for people and is cathartic. Because that's what I design. I design my games that my games can get very, very intense. Because I deal with a lot of intense things, so I make intense things, go figure. And I probably couldn't handle the things that I put into my own games if I wasn't the person designing it. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of consent with my players, make sure that they're comfortable with the content and the material that's being used in the games and what have you, which I get. But when it drives home, when the right lesson is learned or the right connection is made in the mind, it's amazing to just see that success.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about art.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why schools should keep them in schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I never had a single class that taught me how to write lyrics. Now I'm a songwriter. I can't figure out how I figured it out, but I think I just listened to too much music.
But it's true. Yeah. Like, so many... They've actually done studies where they're like, people that were in arts programs,
mm-hmm.
they were generally, like, more happy and successful in school because they had community, they had an outlet.
Yeah, I know that the first year of high school I had a drama department. Technically, the second year we had a drama department, but they fired the drama teacher half, like, a quarter of the way through.
Yeah.
And then we substitutes the rest of the year.
So you did nothing.
Yeah, so like the second half of the year, we had a substitute who was an English teacher. You want to guess what her name was? Mrs. English.
What the hell?
You want to know how much experience she had with drama?
Zero.
Yeah.
He asked us to tell her how to teach the class.
Oh my god.
It was wonderful.
Oh,
wonderful.
No.
Love the public system.
Education system.
Love it.
Well, that's the same reason why people don't know testosterone is in testes. It's the same reason.
And test. Test.
The American school system.
But that's why it's like your balls haven't dropped.
Oh my god.
I wish they hadn't.
I know. Like, get back up! Come on!
Then you wouldn't have to do the voice classes. It'd be just better overall, right?
Exactly.
Wouldn't have to deal with the fuckery.
I'm sorry, I wanted to say that this whole time.
Oh my god. You just want to talk about balls.
I mean, my username is...
Wiggle Nuts.
Wiggle Nuts,
yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. I know.
She's like, cringe, sir.
All right. Well, enough about balls, but enough about nuts.
You cut out
nuts all day.
I said, well, enough about balls, enough about nuts. Morrigan, please give us a reflection on where you are today and what your future looks like to you.
Okay.
Getting deep.
All right. Where am I today? Highly fluctuating. Every other day I think about checking myself into the hospital. Several times a day I think about killing myself. But I still get up and I go to work and I do the things. And right now I think what I'm experiencing is the journey, right? Like I know that there's never really an ultimate destiny. When you transition, it's never over. You're never completely done. You're always transitioning, becoming more and more who you are. But in the earlier phases, it's much more noticeable. And so I am in that stage where everything is more noticeable and harder. But it's a lot easier now than it was a year ago. And it feels like when I think about going back to the hospital, it feels more like backsliding as opposed to a constant state of being. Because I can survive. But where am I going? No idea. I'm going wherever this leads me. I'm going to continue to work at the Renaissance Fair. Next year I'm going to be a fairy. That's about all I know. I have my new job. Will I be in it next year? Not a clue. It's right now I'm trying to find who I am to be who I am. So it's really hard to determine who I'm going to be.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the journey, right? It's amazing to where you thought from a year ago to like now, you know, it's, you just never know.
Yeah.
So our last one, we like to be a little sinister about it. Do you have any last words?
I will first say that sinister means left and dexter means right, and that people believe that sinister is bad because they used to think left-handed was evil. But
I give my best friend shit about it all the time because she's left-handed.
But that is the origin of the word sinister. It comes from Latin. Anyways, I am full of random factoids that nobody needs.
Everybody needs random facts.
Yay.
My last words, I don't know. I'm not good at last words. I just keep talking. But I will say, at least to the people out there who are watching, whether you are someone who is out and proud, whether you are someone in the closet trying to figure it out, whether you are someone who knows what you want to be and are too scared, whether you are someone who already are who you always were and you just want to support those who are struggling, that where you are right now is not wrong. Whatever phase in the journey you're in is valid and where you need to be right now. You will get to whatever the next phase is, whether it's in transition, whether it's a life transition, gender transition, anything. We are all on our journeys, and all that we can do is try to lift each other up and help each other get through that journey. And that's what I live to do, is help and, I guess, receive help in return.
Love it. Woo! That was deep.
Deep.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you very much, Morgan. for being a guest on Rising Moon Podcasts as a show. And again, thank you for being a part of our community on Rising Moon Global.
I love it. It's great.
Wonderful. And for those of you, you can join our Discord. The Discord is Rising Moon. It is named Rising Moon Global. Holy shit, I can talk.
We're all there. And we have game nights.
Yes, and Morgan is also there. So if you would like to hit her up, you can join the Discord.
I like talking to people. I really do. Don't hit me up on Facebook and try to flirt with me. It doesn't work.
No Facebook. We'll give you all the other social media stuff, but not Facebook. Awesome.
Fucking Facebook.
Anyways, also for everyone else still listening, don't forget to follow Rising Moon on all our social media platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and
all the things.
And thank you very much for everyone listening. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye.